The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 50, beginning with the fourth verse. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helped me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I should not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. For the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him, and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Just prior to the lesson, Jesus had gone up on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he transformed himself to give the people a glimpse, or to give the three disciples a glimpse of his glory. That's where Peter, good old Peter's foot and mouth disease, says, "Lord, I got a great idea. Let's build three tents, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses, and then we can just stay here, and this is great." That's Peter. Now, they return back to find the nine arguing with the scribes. The scribes were considered experts in the scripture because they copied the scripture again and again. Remember, this is before Gutenberg and the printing press, where all books or scrolls had to be handwritten. So they had copied them so many times, they basically said, "I'm an expert in the scripture." At least they were opinionated if they didn't understand the scripture. But Jesus comes and finds the nine arguing with the scribes. And he asks the question, "What's happening?" Of course, Jesus knows what's happening. But he wants everybody listening to know what is happening. What was the argument about? A man of the crowd speaks up. "Teacher," he says to Jesus, "I brought my son to you because he has an evil spirit. He cannot talk, and it attacks him and gives him convulsions." The man had brought his son to be healed. Jesus wasn't there, so he goes to the B team. Either he's figuring the disciples, because they're Jesus' disciples, they can cast out demons, or, well, what's he got to lose by trying? But Jesus says, "Bring him to me." Immediately, when the spirit sees Jesus, the boy goes into a seizure, foams at the mouth, and becomes stiff. Jesus asks the question, "How long has this been going on?" And the father answered, "All his life." And it tries to burn him and drown him too. "So please, if you can do anything, have mercy on us." If you can do anything. Jesus says, "All is possible for the one who believes." And then the man replies a great line, "I believe, help my unbelief." Just to tell you, that's one of my favorite prayers when I'm praying, because I have my doubts too at times, especially when things are going chaotic or somebody dies unexpectedly. I will pray to the Lord, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Because we all struggle with that at one time or another. The father did believe that Jesus could heal his son. As I said, either the nine volunteer for it, "Let's see if we have a go at it." It's not an outrageous thing for that to have happened, because earlier in the book of Mark, Jesus had sent them out where they had cast out demons and healed people. But now the father's discouraged. The disciples can't do anything. Maybe Jesus can't either. He says, "If you can, have mercy on us and heal him." So doubt and unbelief had begun to overcome the father. That's why Jesus replies with, "What do you mean, if I can? All things are possible to the one who believes." Instead of going back to pleading for his son to be healed, he says those great words, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." As I said, we all have our moments like that. Times when we doubt, but still believe. When it's trying times, when life is hard. Say when times when you have a fight with your spouse or money in the month don't quite match up correctly. We know, yes, God will provide, but we still doubt. We either believe with the heart and doubt in the mind, or we believe in the mind and doubt in the heart. That's why Jesus says, all is possible for the one who believes. He's talking about his faith and the Father's doubts. But be careful not to stretch Jesus' words too far. Don't take it when something goes wrong and we pray for a person or an event to say, when it doesn't go the way we want it to, if I had only believed more, if I'd only believed stronger, this would not have happened. Because that's plainly rubbish thinking. The boy's father knew it was rubbish as well. That's why he didn't say, Lord, I believe, I want to believe harder. He doesn't have the ability to believe. We call on Jesus, we turn to Jesus, and so does the Father. But Romans 12 tells us, unto everyone God has given the measure of faith. God gives us faith. Faith is not something we create or something that we do. In the small catechism, and I won't ask if you have your small catechism on you, because I think there's only one that does, but the third article of the Apostles' Creed says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race looking to Jesus, the author, in other words, the beginner and perfecter of our faith. Faith is a gift from God. Don't just say, God, you believe, and I'll go on my own way. He's talking to the audience that day when the boy's father brought him to see Jesus, but he's also talking to us. Sometimes we got to look at what Jesus does not say and compare it to what he does say. He says, all things are possible for the one who believes. He uses the singular, the one. Is he talking to the Father? No. Is he talking to the audience? No. Because if he was talking to them, he would have used words like John 3:16. Whoever believes shall have everlasting life. The one who believes is Christ himself. All things are possible for Jesus to do. There's not a limit to what he can do. And I invariably get the confirmand student who says, can God create a stone so large that he couldn't move it? I always answer, why would he waste his time? But they figure Jesus can do anything. He can make a stone so big he can't move it. But that's not what Jesus is getting at. How do we not despair when life hits us between the eyes? Don't depend on your own strength or our own doing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Belief is not some sort of a magical spell to make things happen. Do not despair, because life is not always peaches and cream, and we know that. Jesus commanded the spirit to leave, and the boy looked as if he was dead, but Jesus took his hand and raised him, and he stood up. There's going to come a day that we will all appear to be dead. The world, the crowd, will say we're gone. But in fact, we're only sleeping. Christ, who gave us our faith and our baptism and has sustained our faith throughout our lives, will take us by the hand and one day raise us up to live under him in the world to come. The one who started our faith will finish our faith. He is the one who believes, and for and in him all things are possible. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.